If you join me in a word of prayer. Lord God, we thank you so much for this time to gather this morning. We thank you for the freedom that we enjoy to come and to know that we can be free to worship you this morning. And we thank you, God, that you free our souls. You, when you come in and you give us forgiveness and you give us the gift of knowing that our futures are held in your hands. And because of that, Lord Jesus, we can be free to be blessed and then free to live out that blessing as we bless others in our life. And so we pray that this morning, as you guide us and direct us, guide our hearts, and that we may please you in our thoughts, and that these thoughts that we have this morning from your word may be just challenging, and God, that you will send us out of here thinking and now even more in touch with the mission that you've called for each of us to be a part of. We pray that the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts would be pleasing in your sight, Lord, because you're the rock and you're the reason we're here today. You're our Redeemer. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to read to you from the Old Testament this morning, from the book of Genesis, from Genesis chapter 12. It's a great story. It's the very beginning of the story of Abraham, the story of Abram. And the writer of Genesis says this. He says, "The Lord had said to Abram, 'Leave your country, your relatives, your family's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt, and all the families on earth will be blessed through you.' So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him." Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. Well, at times, I find it very necessary to dig deep into my intellectual library, not to try to impress you, because I know that that's a hopeless matter, but though, if you are, that's okay this morning, but recently I ran across this excerpt from a work that you might recognize. See if you know the author from this one. "Congratulations. Today is your day. You're off to great places. You're off and away. You have brains in your head, you have feet on your shoes. You can steer yourself in any direction you choose. You'll look up and down streets, look them over with care, and some you will say, 'I don't choose to go there.' With your head full of brains and your shoes full of feet, you're too smart to go down any not-so-good street. And when things start to happen, don't worry, don't stew, just go right along, you'll start happening too. Oh, the places you'll go, you'll be on your way. You'll be seeing great sights. You'll join the high flyers who soar to high heights. Except when you don't, because sometimes you won't. All alone, whether you like it or not, alone will be something you'll be quite a lot. Kid, you'll move mountains. So be your name Buxom or Bixie or Bray or Mordecai Alley Van Allen O'Shea. You're off to great places. Today is your day. Your mountain is waiting, so get on your way." So who's the author? Of course, I can see your library is full of deep, intellectually challenging things too. That's a great one. And for your sake, once you get started talking like that, I pray that the rest of the message does not rhyme, because that would be really irritating. So over these past weeks, I should say, we've been talking about the opportunities that God gives to each of us as individuals and as a community, that for people who trust their lives to Jesus Christ. And Jesus' message is, "I want to go with you on this journey called life. I want to walk with you on this journey called life. I want to be with you at your job. I want to be with you wherever you go. I will be your guide." Not only do these paths of faith and life intersect, But Jesus' invitation is to merge these paths 100% so that they're exactly the same, to do all of life with him. And to make it very simple for us to remember and to understand, we said that we can summarize it, our mission, with three words. And the three words were three prepositions: up, in, and out. Up, in, and out. Last week we talked about our up relationship with Jesus. This is not about knowing Jesus just so we can get things done on our agenda. It's much different than that. It starts with Jesus loves me, and I love Jesus. It's as simple as that. Jesus wants a love affair with each of us. And so it's devoting ourselves 100% to this relationship with him above every other priority. That's what up is all about, and that really forms everything, is that we understand who Jesus is and what he does, and we want to love him back. In is also very important, and live what we do when we gather on Sundays, what we do when we gather together other times. We want to live together in an authentic, a friendly, a transparent community with each other, with genuinely caring other people, growing in faith. We want to take care of each other. We want to take care of each other in such a way then when not only will we feel taken care of, but when others come in, they will say, wow, this is a place that is genuinely authentic for Christ. And then out, which is what we're going to talk about today. We want to reach out to our community. We want to transform our community and the whole world, the North Valley, the wherever you live, and, of course, extending that to the whole world. Wherever a light of the desert person goes, we want that person to be, as we read in our opening call to worship from Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, you are the light of the world. And so he sends us out to shine the light that Jesus gives us. And there's this balance between up, in, and out that is a healthy balance. It's vital and healthy for us to have all three of these components in our lives. It's vital for us to be connected in a loving and caring relationship in a community here. But honestly, sometimes we want to stay in forever. We want to stay in for a really long time because we become really comfortable in this part. And Jesus is very clear, though, we're also called to go out. And so today's about out. And perhaps one of the best passages that I know about out is the passage that we read first thing this morning, from Genesis chapter 12. God came to Abram, and Abraham had a great life. He had a very good life in the city called Ur of the Chaldees. He lived in a tribe with a big family and lots of sheep and goats, and God came to Abraham and said, it's time. It's time, Abraham. It's time for you to leave your native country. Maybe he didn't quite say it this way, but it's the same thing. Abraham, you're off to great places. Today is your day. Your mountain is waiting, so get on your way. I think Abram must have had some response, although the scriptures don't say exactly what he said. But the natural thing for any human being to say is, well, God, where do you want me to go? And can I take Sarah with me, my wife? And what about the sheep and goats? Can they go too? And by the way, can you give me a map quest on how to get there? I would really like that. And God's answer to Abraham was yes to Sarah and the sheep and the goats, but no map quest. No map quest. See, I want you to have faith. I want you to trust me. You're going to have to be okay with being uncomfortable, on being pushed out of your comfort zone, because the journey includes you. This journey includes you, and you're going to grow in a big way. But it's much bigger than you. It includes you, but it's much bigger than you. Because, you see, you're part of my plan for the whole world. You're part of my plan for the whole world. And now he said, it's time to go. You might want to stay in, but it's time to go out. It's time to go out. And he says, I'm going to bless you. And Abram probably thought, well, now we're getting down to the part that I like. I like to be blessed. I like this blessing part. Here comes the payoff, this blessing part. But God says, no, I'm going to bless you, so not so you can keep it all to yourself, but I'm going to bless you so that you can be a blessing to others. Your blessing is for you to give away. Blessing so that all the nations of the world will be blessed. Verse 2 and 3 from that passage says, I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you, and all the families on earth will be blessed through you. See, God said to Abraham, Abraham, the key concept here is this concept called bless or blessing. That's why you were born. In fact, that's why I created people in general. God says, I want to bless you and I want to love you so that you can be a blessing to others and love others too. What does that word bless mean anyway? Well, these are some concepts that I think help us to understand. If you are blessed by something, that something enriches your life. And vice versa, if you bless someone else, then you enrich their life. When we bless someone else, we help them grow to their God-given potential, to be all that they can be. You see, the blessing never starts with us, and blessing doesn't start with Abraham. Blessing always begins with God. We see God's blessing from the very beginning in Genesis 1 when God created the birds and the fish. He blessed them and he said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the water with fish. One fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish. And I told you reading Dr. Seuss can be dangerous sometimes. But when God created the first man and the first woman, he blessed them too. And this is God's mission. He created and he blessed and he created us. How? He created us in his image. And one thing that created in his image means is that we share God's mission. God's mission was to bless, and so blessing is our mission too. So whoever we meet, whatever we're doing, wherever we are at work or when we're playing, whether we receive pay for it or no pay, we have a mission. We have a mission, and it's to be a blessing. You and I can do this. You and I can do this together. You say, well, you know, I feel like I go to church, and that's great. But we always say on Sunday, this is the pep rally. This is the pep rally. The real game is out there. The real game is out there. God sends us out from church to the world. Every place, everywhere is our mission field. This morning, we're blessed as we talk about this whole idea of mission field. We asked Ray Gall to share with us this morning on how she views her job as a mission field. And so we're going to show a video of that.
At the Y, we have 1,000 people come through the doors every day. And I really don't know what's going to happen. We deal with all ages. So we have the itty bitties all the way up through the seniors. And everyone has their issues and problems, and a lot of times they're coming to the Y to get better, to be healthier through mind, body, and spirit, and sometimes it's more just the spirit and not just the body. There's times where I can share about the loss of my parents and how I've dealt with that, and you know, encouraging them, you know, that it's okay to be angry. It's okay to go through those steps in their life as well, and to find ways to connect to God, and that He is the only way. And I explain to them in many situations that I don't understand how people can go through life without him, and that he walks with me all the time. Fortunately, I'm able to teach yoga at the Y, and Tuesday mornings I'm able to teach it with instrumental Christian music playing in the background, and so I know that I have people come up to me all the time saying, like the music, love the music today. And so that's encouraging for me, and it's uplifting, and it feeds me to be able to continue to going on. And then on Wednesday mornings, I get to actually teach holy yoga. And the preparation for holy yoga and it being on a Wednesday morning, after I get filled up on Sundays, by Wednesday morning, I can be pretty depleted. And the preparation that goes into that, just focusing on what God wants me to share, and researching that, and in different ways, whether it's online, different versions of the Bible and translations, and that being able to deliver that message is just awesome, and it fills me back up. I've had some folks that come once and don't come back, but that's okay. You know, I know that I've planted a seed there, and it's not just going to be me. It's everyone out in the community being disciples and sharing their faith, and those stories will lead to something one day, and it may not just be through me. You know, we come in there for holy yoga, and we fill ourselves up with him, and that way we can go back out into the world and overflow onto others. And, you know, I encourage them that, you know, lift the corners of your mouth. And whether you're running into someone at the grocery store, maybe that's not having such a good day, you can shine your light and overflow onto them and encourage them in their day. I had one young lady that has really found faith in the last year. And she's practicing her faith a lot, but you know, she's still wavering in some areas. And one in particular was just her practice of work, her ethics at work. And, you know, she was on task when there's a manager around, but when there wasn't a manager around, she seemed to not be on task, and to the point where she was speaking to others about, oh no, here comes Ray. So we had a conversation, and knowing that she is going in the direction of faith, it's you know, that opportunity, you know, to share verses and explaining to her, you know, that God wants us to, as if we're working and doing everything for him, whatever we do, that we do it for him. Just being peaceful in reacting to situations and really taking time to think through things without overreacting or reacting quickly to a situation with peers and leadership in the branch. So that's been a pretty awesome thing, and I know that that comes from him. So it doesn't come from within me. I know when I first went to the Y, it was I was teaching yoga, and then a position came open that I wasn't sure why I was applying for it. And one of my Christian mentors spoke to me, and she said, well, Ray, I know why. God wants you to be there. And I just really feel that God has placed me in that place to reach out to others. It's not always easy, and if without him, it's not possible at all. And just, it's a blessing to be able to be in that position. And again, there's lots of trials that go with it, but the blessings that come from it are awesome. And there's just so many opportunities for people to come and even just volunteer at the Y. And just to be, if they want to connect with community, it's just a wonderful place to do that. As I said, you know, 1,000 people a day come through the doors, and just all walks of life. And I would encourage anyone to get out into the community and make a connection with people. Growing up, I was the shy kid, didn't like to be out in front of people. I feel like God is just constantly pushing me out of my comfort zone, and I've been accepting the challenge. And it's not easy, but you know, and even within yoga, it's been this great connection of moving out of your comfort zone. And I encourage people to do that within yoga, but in life, and you know, take a step. You know, if you're feeling a nudge, you know, to reach out to people, that's God telling you that, hey, I want you to go try something. Why don't you go do this? And being, you know, accepting to the challenge that he's giving us. just stepping out of your comfort zone. My name is Ray Gall, and I'm the Senior Program Director of Membership and Community Outreach at the YMCA.
Well, we want to thank Ray for agreeing to share her story with us, but the truth of the matter is that I'm looking out, and I know where almost all of you work and where all of you live and all of you play, and you know where I work and play, and all of it is mission field. The whole place is a mission field. And that can be a daunting thing when we think about it, is that we realize that we're never off duty, are we, when we're Christians? We're never off duty. God calls us to be representing Him and to be in touch with Him wherever we are. But it's all about a blessing. It's all about how we have been blessed. It all starts with God in His first blessing to us. My dad used to sing a song called Count Your Blessings. And the chorus went like this. It says, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. It will surprise you. I put a list on your note page this morning. It's nothing, no rocket science here, but it's just a starter for you to begin to count your blessings. When you and I think about all the gifts that we have, we go to Uganda and we realize that food and water is an issue. Food and water is not an issue for us. It just isn't. We don't live in a home made of cardboard. Ken Howell's going to talk about Agua Prieta in just a few minutes. Not that far away. Resources, we might not think we have a lot, but you know, it's sobering just to remember how we stack up against the rest of the world. If you make $32,000 a year, you're in the top 1% of all the world. That's pretty sobering when you think about that. Education. Our nation has free education through high school and lots of post-high school opportunities. That's not the case. I just visited with a man from another country today, or this during this past week, and it was staggering. It was staggering, the percentage of the income of this particular country that had to go to educate your children. And of course, we're free to follow Jesus here. There's no threat to our lives. If you follow Jesus, you remember how He guides you and even gives you abilities and opportunities and passions, and that's just a start. I've left some extra blanks on your note sheet this morning on purpose, because I want you to fill that in. That is an incredibly healthy exercise for each of us to think of the blessings that we have. In a couple weeks, we're going to have our, as Pastor Michael said, our Joy in Serving Sunday in between services, where we highlight many of the opportunities that our church is involved in, ways that we can participate not only internally, but also to go out. I mentioned that we have one very unique and opportunity that's been a blessing to us over the years. And I want to call on Ken Howell right now to come up, and he's going to share with us just a little bit about this particular blessing.
Thank you, Paul. Okay. Appreciate it. Good morning, everyone. Really very excited to talk about Agua Prieta, a ministry that our church did a number of years ago that we're going to be starting up again. So an opportunity for everyone, I think, to participate in mission within the church. Quick story as to how Agua Prieta affected myself and our family. We joined Light of the Desert about 10 years ago. And at that time, the church was going quarterly down to Mexico, a small community over the border, Agua Prieta, Mexico, and a home-building ministry. And the impact that that had on us, our children were young, they were teenagers, they're now grown adults, but We were able to go down there and see not only poverty that we never saw here in the United States, I mean, to that degree, but more importantly, and what I came back with was the joy and the happiness. So you go down and see people that really are living in not much more than cardboard boxes, and see that they're happy and they're joyful and they're appreciative of what they have. And then you come back up here, and it was a bit of a shock to get run off Scottsdale Road by somebody in an Escalade trying to get to their Pilates class. So, there's the contrast between the two was so different, and that had really a profound impact on us. So Susan and I got involved with Hope for Kids. We've gone to Uganda together and with Paul and the church to dedicate the church there. I've had an opportunity to go to Namibia, Africa, been all around India on mission, most recently down to Cuba, and just really profoundly changed my own life. I'm really excited to talk about Aqua Prieta and getting started back there, because I think that there's, as I said, a way for everybody in the church to get involved in some way. Just one story from those mission travels. We were in central India in a very, very remote village where the entire village converted to Christianity. And understand that in India still it's illegal to convert somebody to Christianity. So, I mean, just to be found there. So we went in a van very quickly. They rushed us sort of in and out. And this whole village was the untouchable caste in the Hindu religion. So in their own country, their own shadow couldn't cross somebody else's shadow. And we had the opportunity to commune with them, to worship with them, to sing, and just to share that in that setting with somebody who was so filled with joy of Christ was an opportunity of a lifetime. So I want to talk very briefly for a minute or two about Aqua Prieta coming up. Go ahead, we can start slides. If you don't know where Aqua Prieta is, it's right across the border from Douglas, Arizona. So the international mission field is very close. So you're about a four-hour drive from Phoenix. We go out down on a weekend, so you don't need to take long periods of time off work or travel across the ocean. It's a community of about 70,000 people, relatively congested, but we very quickly get out of the city, as you'll see. This is the entrance to the downtown. As I said, we don't spend much time there. Next slide, please. We go, there's a compound. And for those of you that maybe went with us to Aqua Prieta years ago, I joke that this is not your grandfather's mission trip to Aqua Prieta. You had to be somewhat hardy stock a few years ago when we went. I mean, we slept on church pews. We crossed the border multiple times a day. We cooked our own food after working all day. It's very, very different now. This is the compound that we stay in. It's on the outskirts of town in a very nice pastoral setting. It's guarded. It has a wall around it, a fence around it. So it's very, very secure, very, very clean. You see a fire pit at night for us to just do some fellowship after we come back. Good. Next slide. There's the welcoming committee. There's Jeff and Ted. But the facilities are very, very nice. This is a little living room area that in the evening you can have fellowship. Next slide, please. This is the cafeteria where we eat. And once again, we don't prepare our own food. This is Rancho Feliz, which is a Christian organization down there that makes open this facility for a small cost. So we come back at the end of the day, and local community members there make us dinner. So it's a very authentic, obviously wonderful Mexican meal that we have when we're down there. Next slide. Also slightly different than sleeping on church pews. There's some very nice accommodations there. There's some single beds. Next slide will show there's some that are more bunk beds and dorm style, but modern bathrooms, modern showers. So just a very nice, very secure, very clean facility for us to stay. Paul talked earlier about the mission field, though, where we actually spend our days and where we work. This is a very typical home in the Ladrillo district of Aqua Prieta. So this is how many of the folks down there are living in just any garbage, cardboard, corrugated steel that they can find to make a home in. So that's before. Next slide, please. This is what we build, and hopefully you can see that. It's a Ladrillo brick structure about the size of a single car garage, but it has a cement floor, it has windows, it has doors, it's secure. So the individuals that are on the receiving end of these homes are as appreciative and just as excited as can be to have this. You can see in the background sort of the background in the neighborhood that we work in. Next slide, please. This is the family when we went down. Some of us went down a few months ago, and this is the young family that was the recipients of the home that we were building. And that's the great part about this mission. It's not the physical work of the building of the building. It's really the interaction that we've been able to have over the years with the neighborhood, with the folks that we're building the homes for. We've made long-term connections. We've gone back down and visited families who we built homes for a decade ago. And we see their children grow up. So that connection is just really, very, very important. And if you say, well, that's great, but, you know, I'm really physically, I'm not going to be able to do hard labor or that may not be for me. I really have you pray about that and consider, because the work is such that there's really work for everybody. Here you can see neighborhood children pitching in. There are Ladrillo block that need to be soaked before they can be put on the wall. So any age, really about any physical condition, there's work, there's ways that you can be of value on the trip. This is our neighborhood supervising community there. You notice in their hand, the reason they may be worked up is we load them up with candy and sugar, and I think they have Orange Crush there in their hands. You probably can't see that. But, I mean, and that's another part of the mission and the ministry is the neighborhood itself. So we'll often take clothing, we'll take donations, we'll really just, while the work's going on in the house, I know our daughter Amber loved to just go out into the neighborhood with the neighborhood kids and play with the kids and minister in that way to the whole community. And then at the end, we always do a group picture with the family as the home is completed. So that's just a little bit. I wanted to give a quick overview, as Pastor Paul had said, on the opportunity to minister in Aqua Prieta. Our trip is coming up. We're going to go down in November. And I wanted to talk very briefly about Jesus' call for us to be involved in mission. And I think Jesus was very, very clear in his instruction. As a matter of fact, Acts verse 1.8 was Jesus is actually in Acts his last statement before the very next verse is basically when he was taken up into heaven. So if you look at it that way, maybe the last words of advice that he gave to his disciples. And essentially he said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And he didn't go on to say, so use that with your family and your friends and enjoy it over the weekend. That power, the second part of the verse, he continued to say, and you will be my witness, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So I think in his final words on earth, Jesus was very clear. And I'll also quote this gentleman named John Piper, who has written extensively on mission and Christians' commitment and really responsibility for mission. And John Piper says there are three types of Christians when it comes to mission work. And there are goers, there are senders, and there are the disobedient. And so not everybody is meant to go. So pray about whether this is your time, whether God wants you to go on this trip or be involved in any local mission or in anything that we've talked about during this Sunday. There, you can certainly be a sender, and we need senders. There's cost for the materials to build the home, and we'll be having a change for change today to collect contributions for that. So there's many ways that you can be involved, again, either as a goer, as a sender. If you want to go the disobedient route, that's between you and God. But we can help certainly on the goer and the sender part. So please be prayerful about the opportunity. And if you'd like any more information, Jeff Grandpre, we really appreciate Jeff taking the lead on organizing this again, as he did in the past. Ted Bonk or myself, we have some information sheets outside for after the service.
Actually, there is also an insert in your bulletin this morning that tells a lot of the information and the upcoming details. Thank you, Ken, so much. And blessed to be a blessing. Can we say it any more clearly? It comes from Scripture. It comes from the story of Abraham. And it comes from our life. Your primary calling and my primary calling is to do what Jesus asks us to do. Follow me in whatever place you find yourself. And so, as we close today, remember, God says, love me with everything. That's our upward dimension. And love each other as fellow Christians and as care for each other. And then he says, but you can't stay here. You got to go out. You got to go out because so many people need to know the love of Jesus as well as the promise of eternity together. Let's pray together. God, we pray that this morning, as you have spoken through your word, through Ken, through Ray, and all the rest, that maybe our mission understanding has been expanded, and that we can see ourselves as not just people here to be comfortable, but God, you've given each of us a mission. You've given each of us a mission wherever we are. And so we ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would reveal that to us, that we'd be open to it, and then God, we'd courageously put one foot in front of the other, and that we would say, here am I, Lord, send me. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.